I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Great to be here as always.
As always, it is great to be here. It is Monday, March the 4th, and we are well into Lent for all you Catholics out there. And I guess Easter is in a couple of weeks, what, 3 or 4 weeks? So, yeah, what a great day, and a lot happening on the news front. And so we'll get right to it because there is so much going on right now. Some chaos by design by the Biden and Obama alumni regime, and some unanticipated, but well, we'll go into it a little bit. But we always like to talk about the PGA start the show. They had some weather issues which caused a delay in finishing yesterday. Normally it's a Sunday finish, so the first PGA tour on the Florida Swing, the Cognitive Classic in Palm Beach, was delayed. It was played at the PGA National Course, great course, known for what's called the bear trap. The last four holes are a bear. Actually, 15, 16, and 17 are the bear trap. That's a bear. I mean, it's water, and it'll break a lot of hearts and could change a lot, you know, if you're in contention. Monday finish was due to heavy rainy conditions on Saturday and Sunday. So South African Eric Van Rooyen went on a tear in the final round, shooting an 8-under-63. He charged up the leaderboard. One of the co-leaders after Sunday's round is the Irishman Shane Lowry. I love watching this guy. But he couldn't muster any momentum, and he ended up falling back to a tied for fourth. With a an even par 71. But American Austin Eckroat, in his second year on tour, held it together. He shot a 4-under-par 67 on the final round to secure his first PGA Tour victory with a three-shot lead over Eric Van Rooyen of South Africa and Australian Minwoo Lee. So congratulations to Austin Eckroat. I'll tell you, I've been a fan of this young man since he joined the tour last year. I think he's got really good game. It's just a matter of whether or not he was going to be able to win, and he held it together. And so it's really cool to watch him get his first win out there. So, you know, congrats to him. Did you watch any of the tournament?
Yep. Oh, I watched a little bit of it, but not the ending. But, I mean, this is good. We're seeing a lot of new players coming up with their first victories. So we're seeing the next generation rising to the top.
Yes, you know what? That's true. It's really good to see. And, you know, it's really cool that this young man was able to be poised enough. He got through the bear trap unscathed, and he actually hit some fantastic shots on 15 and 17 to par 3. So it was really cool to watch. Let's see if this kind of catapults him to get a little confidence, just like last week's winner, Jason Knapp. The LPGA, got to talk about the ladies. The biological ladies are fantastic. If you ever get a chance to watch them, some people don't like because it's slow, but the ladies, you can watch their golf swings. Plus, some of them are cute, I'll admit that. But what a finish at the LPGA. France's Celine Boutier jumped out to a two-shot lead after she birdied the 15th hole, so she's in the clubhouse with a two-shot lead. But there's still players on the course, including Australian Hannah Green. Well, Hannah Green, trailing by two shots, birdies the 16th hole, so she's one back. She hits a absolutely magnificent shot on 17 to, like, within 10 feet. She drains the putt, so now she's tied with Boutier, who's up on the practice green, and she's putting. And Green gets to the difficult 18th hole, and she hits a really good drive, and she has to, you know, hit a nice shot in, and she hits it 27 feet to the pin on 18. Folks, 18 green is a tough green. But she hit it in sort of the right spot. But she's got a 27-footer, left or right putt. It's Sunday afternoon. She needs to at least get a par to tie, and it's certainly no easy putt. Hannah Green steps up, and she drains the difficult left or right putt for a birdie, ends up beating Celine Boutier by one shot, and Hannah Green notches her fourth LPGA Tour victory. So congratulations to Hannah Green. What a tournament. I absolutely loved it. It was really cool to watch the ladies, Celine Boutier, you know, stepping up and hitting some great shots. And then all of a sudden, Hannah Green out of nowhere birdies the last three holes and absolutely steals the tournament. So congratulations to her, and it's really, really cool to see what she did. Did you watch any of the ladies?
Yep. No, I'm just bits and pieces, but I did watch a little bit of Hannah Green. Beautiful swing, and that was an exciting tournament. I watched the highlights. So, yeah, congratulations to Ms. Green. Awesome. She does have a nice swing, doesn't she?
She really does, man. She really does. So there was also
and there were no dudes. No chicks with sticks.
Oh, my God.
So that's good.
I hope
can
it
you
doesn't
say
come to that. Yeah, you can. Yep. Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, good.
I just did. And in some great news over the weekend, I talked about this go ahead. Did you want to say something?
Yep. One quick story before you jump on. This is a great story, actually. You'll be thrilled and happy. This involves the MLB, Major League Baseball. The San Francisco Giants instituted a new rule requiring the entire team to stand for the national anthem, from the stars to the players to the coaches. Even the bat boys have to come out of the dugout and stand for the national anthem. So this is great news and a good sign, hopefully, of things to come. So kudos to the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, and especially with San Francisco. I mean, this actually came out of San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, mamma mia.
Yeah. No, that's what I said. I said, mamma mia, holy mackerel, Kingfish. And there it is. So that's a good thing. It's good culturally. It'll be good for Major League Baseball. And it'll be good for me because now I can start watching, hopefully, baseball again. Making baseball great again, the San Francisco Giants. So,
yeah, that's really something. We'll have to watch that. And let's see if any other of the woke MLB teams follow suit. Could change my opinion. The New York Yankees have to bring back the seventh inning stretch with Kate Smith. Once they do that, I'll probably start watching them again. Other than that, the Steinbrenner brothers absolutely ruined the New York Yankees. I think that the curse of Kate Smith, the Yankees will not win another World Series until they bring that back. But that's my opinion. You know, but records are made to be broken. And on Saturday, a 54-year-old college basketball record of 3,667 scoring points was broken. Here we go.
Going up in Cedar Rapids. Now Caitlin at the line for the record. She ties it with that one. This for college basketball history. She does it with a foul shot. Caitlin Clark becomes the all-time leading scorer in major college basketball history. passing. Pistol Pete Maravich is with Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark of Hank Jones, Iowa Hawkeyes, breaks a 54-year-old Division I college basketball scoring record. She hits two free throws in the second quarter. The second free throw breaks the record, passing Pistol Pete Maravich. This young lady is unbelievable. She's unbelievable. And she did it in her senior year. She had on Friday had declared that she will be going pro after the season, the basketball season this year, because the Iowa Hawkeyes will be in the ladies' final 64. But what an absolute great feat! In addition to the breaking this record, you had the Lady Hawkeyes beat number 2 Ohio State Buckeyes by 10 points, 93-83. So that made the record-breaking night even more enjoyable. Just absolutely fantastic. Very happy for this young lady. She did it. She did it with class. She did it with style. And she didn't really listen to all the noise that was out there. She's just a shooting and scoring machine. One other point, Al. So I'm watching this. And so she ties the record, and the ref just bounces the ball to her to take her second free throw shot. And, you know, you sit there and you watch it, the NBA, you watch some of the men's basketball, they bounce the ball, they look at their end, they bounce the ball, they look, they step back, they look. The ref throws the ball to Caitlin Clark. She takes one bounce, and then she just shoots. All of a sudden, she just shoots. And she swishes it. It was like, oh, my God, she didn't even wait. It was like, wow. It was great. Oh, God. So, you start this racist crap, okay? There's nothing racist about the Star Spangled Banner. The national anthem was written in 1812 by Francis Scott Key as the British were bombarding. So you could take your racist ass and you could leave, okay? There's really no room for that. There's nothing racist about the national anthem. So thank you for coming. I do appreciate that. You know, we like to have the listeners, but really, if you get a skew this nonsense, you could leave, okay? You're the one that's dividing America. The race baiters and the race haters want to make something out of nothing. And the fact is that if you look up history, okay, and if you bother to get off of your lazy ass, you'll realize that Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem in 1812. Okay, so you know it's really nice that you're spewing the Marxist movement lines. But really, it's nice to have you, and you know, you could save your racism for other shows, okay?
Amen to that.
Idiot.
Yep, and LeBron James became the first NBA player to top 40,000 points, which is a hell of a stat. So congratulations to LeBron James, and don't like the man. But damn, if he's not a good basketball talent, probably he's right up there at the top. He is. He's. Would you say he's the GOAT, or would you still give that
no.
to
Michael
no?
Jordan?
To MJ.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen Michael Jordan quit. I've never seen Bill Russell quit, although I didn't, you know, I wasn't alive when Bill Russell was in his prime. I think Michael Jordan definitely best, because Michael Jordan had the complete game too. So, I think personally,
yeah.
So
he's good for the sport. LeBron James, not so much. But you got to respect 40,000 points. That's quite a stat.
You know what? And just like the racist comments from someone like, and really disappointing from Scoop. Women have been trying to break that glass ceiling, and really it's quite an accomplishment for women, whether it's swimming or it's basketball. The sporting aspect, they are track and field, they're great in their you know, it, in their craft, and they try to perfect it, as Caitlin Clark has done. And really, as a big swoop. I really liked her game. She took it from college to the WNBA, and she was quite successful. But really and truly disappointing that she had to invoke race into Caitlin Clark's achievement. And it's really sad, you know, just like this JAMA radio media who you know, tries to invoke race regardless of the next. You know, it's just it's really sad that if it wasn't for the founders of this country, if it wasn't for founders of this country who gave their lives to making America free, to bestowing the freedoms that we have today, like freedom of speech, freedom of the press, individuals' freedoms, liberties. It would be you would be living in Russia or Germany or Nazi Germany or communist China, where the government would control your speech, control your thought. And you know, America has come a long way since 1787. And sadly, the woke movement of today forgets what sacrifices were made from 1776 to 1787. And we're a relatively young country as compared to other nations around the world, certainly with the UK and Spain and Italy, many European nations, the Chinese dynasty. So, you know, for these individuals to start kind of berating and denigrating, you know, the achievements that are being made. Clark. Here's a lady who absolutely, because of her achievements, fills a stadium, and that speaks so well to women's sports. Listen, many people don't follow women's basketball. And I don't watch it doesn't do any. Although when the University of Connecticut was up on top, I have to admit I would watch it. Notre Dame. But to play the like Charles did. I thought she was bigger, and I thought she was better of a professional athlete, of a woman, a biological woman, than to go down the rail. And she's better than Juan James. She's no better than the Reverend Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson. She's no better than those people. Karen have that at animus because of Caitlin Clark being white. And to give Caitlin Clark a lot of credit, she tuned out that outside noise. And that's all Cheryl Swoops is outside noise. So Jackson is what is, and that's all Sharpton is. He's just outside noise, and he's a race baiter. And I thought the race baiting, you know, because in women's sports, especially women trying to you know, perfect their craft and to appeal to the masses, I thought she was better than that. And simply she, so all that aside, and all these race baiters aside, what Caitlin Clark did was absolutely fantastic. And when I listened to the clip of her breaking that record, it is
going up in Cedar Rapids. Now Caitlin at the line for the record. She ties it with that one. This for college basketball history. She does it with a foul shot. Caitlin Clark becomes the all-time leading scorer in major college basketball history, passing Pistol Pete Maravich. This is with Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin,
I mean, it's just – Al, what an achievement. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. So we'll see what happens, and certainly if she's – how she's receptive – recepted in the WNBA. So
it will be interesting to see. So we have a sports – I don't know, a sports highlight and a great achievement ruined by hate and bigotry.
Yeah.
Sad to see.
Yep. Yep, it is. Oh, well, you know, speaking of hate, in New York City, they're having some problems with hate, and this is a pretty sad story. The illegal alien issue has, you know, taken many fronts, and one of the fronts is crime. New York City subway conductor slashed in the neck in early morning attack. In the early hours of Thursday, 59-year-old subway conductor in New York City was attacked by being slashed in the neck. The incident occurred at Rockaway Avenue and Fulton Street station in Brooklyn. And Fulton Street, I'm very surprised, but just a, you know, it happened at 3:40 in the morning. The victim, named Alton Scott, was on board the train as it arrived at the station when he was targeted and injured as he leaned out the window. Video footage shows numerous police officers at the scene. WPIX 11 noted that the crime has continued to be an ongoing problem. The victim was taken to a nearby hospital and reported in stable condition. He underwent a procedure requiring 34 stitches. So it wasn't just a slice or a little scratch on the neck, but 34 stitches this man, 59-year-old Alton Scott, needed as a result of some punk slashing this guy's the New York City subway conductor's neck. But you know, have no fear, folks, because while crime has escalated in New York City, New York's Attorney General Letitia Soros James is suing the world's largest beef producer. Now, you know, we laugh at this, but you have to understand that the globalist movement right now is to limit the world's population. Not my words, okay? Those are the words of the Microsoft founder Bill Gates. It's the mission statement by the United Nations as well as the World Economic Forum. The Attorney General of the state of New York is going after the world's largest meat producer, okay, beef producer. Let me see if I can get that story here. Yeah, here we go. The Attorney General is suing JBS USA, which, let me tell you, folks, when you look up JBS USA, their brands include Swift, Pilgrims, which Pilgrims is the largest poultry producer. Actually, it's the number two poultry producer. Aspen Ridge, Great Southern, Primo, Moy Park, Aberdeen, Black, Aussie Beef, Valley Free, Blue Ribbon, Angus Beef, Blue Ribbon Beef, Certified Angus Beef, to name a few under the JBS umbrella. And you see, shutting down the beef industry has been the goal of Bill Gates. It's been the goal of the World Economic Forum, all under the climate change con game, the climate hoax. And it's all to achieve the net zero greenhouse gases by 2040. Net zero greenhouse gas emissions. That's the goal of the United Nations under the Paris Accord. So the New York Attorney General, Letitia Soros James, filed a lawsuit against JBS USA Food Company and JBS USA Food Company Holdings, the American subsidiary of the world's largest producer of beef products, for misleading the public about its environmental impact. Now, this is all subjective, too, by the way. So one day, the United Nations under the Paris Accord can come up with a number. And that number could change. So beef production emits the most greenhouse gases of any major food commodity, and animal agriculture accounts for 14.5% of annual global greenhouse gas emissions. Okay, where'd the number come from? In 2021, the JBS Group, JBS USA Global Parent Company, reported total global greenhouse gas emissions of over 71 million tons, more than the total emissions of some countries. So Attorney General Soros James seeks to stop JBS USA from continuing these false and misleading marketing practices, pay disgorgement of all ill-gotten profits and penalties. So she's going to be the arbiter once again of shutting down corporations, of tampering with America's food supply, of tampering with the world's food supply, thereby creating what could be an issue of creating a food shortage. And why is this relevant? Well, because if you all would look at what dopey Joe Biden did and the European Union did last year in 2023, the African Union, okay, is a chief importer of fertilizer from, you want to take a guess, Ukraine. Ukraine is the number one producer of fertilizer for Africa. And now with Ukraine involved in a war with Russia, they're not producing fertilizer. And thereby it jeopardizes the African farmers and their ability to produce crops, to produce food for the people of Africa. So guess what? The African Union said, you know what? We're going to manufacture fertilizer so that the farmers in Africa can grow crops and thereby feed the African people. And famine is the number one thing that affects Africa. We see the reports that come out of Africa. But the European Union and the United States, under the climate con game, under the climate hoax, prohibited the African Union from manufacturing fertilizer because of the climate crisis that they have labeled, under the Paris Accord, under the UN 2030 agenda. And so what the United States did was they gave $2 billion in addition to the $11.1 billion, and the European Union gave the African Union $900 million not to manufacture fertilizer in order to feed people. That is a drop in the bucket. Instead of allowing one of the largest continents in the world to provide for their people, we have given a pittance to prohibit the African Union from manufacturing fertilizer. And now you have Letitia Soros James suing meat manufacturers, beef producers, and determining unilaterally that if they've earned any profits, they have to turn it over to the state of New York. You know, at some point in time, this has all got to start backfiring. These left-wing lunatics are okay with starving people, whether they're starving people in Africa, and now they want to control the population, they want to starve people in America, they want to limit the food supply, tamper with the food supply. I mean, this is absolutely incredible what we're seeing out of these radicals. And so now the idea is to get these Marxists like Letitia Soros James to start going after the largest food suppliers, in this case, the JBS Group. You know, it's climate change this week. It was global warming last week. It was global cooling prior to that. And now it's climate change. And they get these radical Marxist attorney generals to start tampering with, one, elections, and two, tampering with the food supply. Now, if you're going to get to a net zero emission by 2050, that means your goal is to eliminate all meat production. You want to get to net zero? I mean, that is absolutely radical. We have no control over the climate. If there's a way for governments to start regulating solar flares that impact the global weather, then that would be unbelievable of a feat, of an accomplishment. But now you have a state attorney general in the state of New York tampering with America's food supply. And that is unacceptable. And let's hope that JBS USA unfortunately has to expend money, and that's the idea by these Marxists, if they can't, is financially drain them. They've done it. She did it with Trump, and now she's doing it. She's holding JBS Group and JBS USA hostage. It's really unbelievable what we're witnessing, Al. This is insane.
Well, it's a shakedown because several other companies across different industries have made the same net zero commitments. And over the past few years, amid growing pressure from investors, regulators, and environmental groups, still, many of them are yet to provide a clear pathway for decarbonization. Climate washing claims against businesses have also become more usual, with most cases being originated in the U.S. And what triggered it, which you touched on, is that they were going to have a listing on the New York Stock Exchange. And can't have that. So this is really a shakedown by New York to get JBS to pay up to these climate bullies, these climate Marxists. And once JBS pays up as they demand, then this washing, this will end, and they'll get the green light as long as they grease the right hands.
Yeah, and that is so true. And the one thing that we have to understand is that the United Nations 2030 agenda, the first page, okay, the cover page, Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. That's the way it starts, okay? And, you know, you sit here and you scratch your head and you say, why, how could somebody who was working from their basement in 2020 get elected president of the United States with absolutely nothing? And here's a guy in Joe Biden who couldn't get the party's nomination because he's a liar and a plagiarizer. And suddenly he's installed as the 46th president of the United States. And what we have now is chaos. And there's so many things that are being thrown at us, at we the people, and the distractions that have occurred. And it's about overwhelming the system. Whether it's opening the U.S. southern border and the northern border in Canada and allowing 10, 12, 13, 15 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to pour through our borders to overwhelm our social systems in cities and states around the country, to taking America off of energy independence and then creating chaos with regards to busting families' budgets with regards to the rapid escalation in energy costs, which then energy costs that impact businesses' costs, and business costs then pass to us, causing inflation to the point where Americans are having a difficult time. And we know they're having a difficult time because the credit card debt in the United States is the highest it's ever been. trillion dollars. It's never, ever been that. It's never broken the trillion-dollar mark. And because of the radical anti-American, anti-free enterprise, anti-capitalistic agenda by Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime, who have adopted this globalist principle, who have adopted the radical transformation of America and of the world, we are seeing chaos occur around the country in domestic policies and also the chaos that we are witnessing that's going on around the world, including in Ukraine and Russia, including in Israel and the Middle East, including with communist China now aggressively co-opting the mineral rights and then also walking into free nations, so to speak, like under the BRICS, and taking America off or taking the world off of the U.S. dollar in favor of the yuan, which is the communist Chinese currency, and whatever currency of the nation that they're going to trade with. And we're no longer hearing about the trade deficit that America has with communist China because of the Wuhan virus that was released, and of course now with Dopey Joe that's occupying the White House. The preamble for the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, the agenda is a plan of action for people, planet, and prosperity. Well, you know, when you have an agenda of a net zero emissions by 2040, where's the prosperity? Because, you know, I was talking to some seniors over the weekend, and they're wondering if they can afford their home any longer. And a couple of them don't have a mortgage, but the upkeep on the house and then having their utility bills double, not to mention the cost of gasoline has actually increased and inflated their cost of living on a monthly basis. But what struck me was, unsolicited, they were talking about the utility rates doubling over the last 3 years. Now, Biden has been installed since January 20th, 2021, 1,130 days ago. And you have senior citizens, 1,240 days ago. I mean, that's when the disaster hit. And you have senior citizens who are struggling to meet their utility costs because their income hasn't risen by 30, 40, and 50%. But the utility bills have gone up 100%. So tell us, how is this better? How is this prosperous? So the preamble goes on to say it also seeks to strengthen universal peace and larger freedom, whatever that means. Maybe Kamala Harris wrote that. We recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge and an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. That right there, you don't have to read anything more about how much of a bullshit statement that is under the United Nations 2030 agenda. Because if they were so concerned, okay, about poverty, if they were so concerned about people eating, why are they prohibiting the African Union from manufacturing fertilizer in order to feed their people? Manufacturing creates jobs. Farming creates jobs. And yes, while Africa may be an underdeveloped nation in many places, at least it would be on the path of a right track. And it would start stamping out poverty. The 17 sustainable goals and 169 targets, which are announced today, demonstrate the scale and ambition of this new universal agenda. They seek to build on the Millennium Development Goals and complete what they did not achieve. They seek to realize the human rights of all and to achieve gender equality, unless, of course, you're a cross-dressing dude who identifies as a female, okay? There's not equality there. And empower all women and girls. Oh, the empowerment of women and girls. So even the United Nations is using women and girls when they want. They're integrated and indivisible and balance three dimensions of sustainable development, the economic, social, and environment. The goals and targets will stimulate action over the next 15 years in areas of critical importance for humanity and the planet. As the useless nations gets in bed with Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum to control the world's population by limiting the food supply. I mean, there's no other answer for Letitia Soros James and her actions of going after the world's leader in beef manufacturing, beef production. So come up with a number. Okay, maybe it was 20.5 5 years ago. Now it's 14.5. Just change it along the way. You know, we're going to move the Earth by 1/3 of 1%, 0.03% of 1%, and now it's 1.5% reduction. Where does this come from? The radical agenda of the left wing. And those politicians like Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime so want to break this constitutional republic. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about constitutional law, and it's a reason why each and every Democrat, each and every member of the Uniparty uses the term democracy. And they use that term in order to condition the subversion of language. America is not a democracy. America is a constitutional republic. And the Democrat Party and the Uniparty do not want you and me to understand the difference. And I'm going to play it once again. Former FBI agent Dan Smoot, 50 seconds, 50 seconds clearly defines the difference between a democracy and our republic.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and as FBI agent Dan Smoot had stated, the subversion of language by always calling America a democracy. And that's all by design. And Holger just sent the message and said, you know, perhaps Letitia Soros James gets 10% of the take of what Trump pays. You know, that's interesting because Letitia James makes a little over $100,000 a year, and somehow she's amassed a $15 million net worth. Now, it might be highly profitable, okay, for one being supported by George Soros to see their bank accounts increase, as with Fannie Willis, who's now worth in excess of $5 million on a $100,000 a year salary. You know, I know the math defies us, and I know that you and me out there who have taken the basic, you know, mathematics and are, you know, do understand fractions, if you make $174,000 a year for 4 years, and we can do the math here. So $174,000 times four, that means that you have made $696,000, but somehow your net worth has gone from $10,000 to $27 million. Something has to be wrong there, and we should question it. But, of course, when you're a left winger and your financial state actually increases exponentially and it defies all mathematic logic, you can't question that, as it has with Letitia Soros, James, Fannie, Willis. Oh, and AOC. It's alleged that she's now worth $27 million, and she goes into Congress worth less than $10,000. That's amazing on $174,000 a year. Even $174,000 a year times 5 years is $870,000. You know, if the people in Congress can use that math to eliminate the debt, the $34 trillion debt, that would be unbelievable. But I guess in their own corrupt ways, they have no incentive to do so. So we'll keep an eye on the Attorney General Letitia Soros James and her bogus attempt to shut down America's largest beef producer, JBS USA. They are number two beef producer, they're number two pork producer, they're number two poultry producer. And so this is nothing more than the government engaged in the RICO Act in holding corporations hostage under the climate change hoax. So, Al?
Yeah, she should get fired for dereliction of duty. There's no question about it. What she's doing with to President Trump, she's finding a crime where there's no victims.
Yeah, that's the amazing
thing.
And in this,
she's punishing a company for wanting and trying for the last decade to get listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and getting listed on the New York Stock Exchange will help this company grow even further. And she's stopping that because she didn't get her proper payoffs or the climate, like I said before, the climate shakedown artists didn't get their proper dues. They're calling it climate whitewashing. It's despicable.
Well, and you also have to say there's no such thing as a coincidence, folks. Okay, there's no such thing as a coincidence when you have Bill Gates and you have the World Economic Forum are looking for ways to cut down the beef production in the world. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Letitia James, you know, files suit against the America's largest food producer, JBS. There's no coincidence. This is all by design. And certainly the Marxist movement in the world, and which is led by the World Economic Forum, which is led by the United Nations under the radical 2030 agenda, it's just, you have to see that there's nothing coincidental about this timing. There's also no coincidence with regards to the lawfare that the Biden-Obama alumni regime have been engaged in against President Trump. And something that came through today, and I know you all have seen it, the United States Supreme Court, in a 9-0, a 9-0 unanimous decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump must remain on the ballot in Colorado and each and every state that it removed him, including Maine. The secretaries of states unilaterally decided to remove Trump from the ballot. Now, isn't it ironic that the left wing is engaged in this subversion of language with regards to voting rights You know, the Republicans are disenfranchising, and the Republicans won't want you to vote. And in the meantime, it is the Democrat Party who's actively engaged in suppressing the right to vote. And you have these secretaries of state who unilaterally decide, as they did in Colorado and Maine, to remove President Trump from the ballot. President Trump has never been tried under the 14th Amendment for insurrection. That terminology was immediately used. The term insurrection was used by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party and the Uniparty in order President Trump, because they know that they can't get an indictment on Trump for insurrection, because there was no insurrection on January 6th, 2021. There was no insurrection. Could it have been a protest that got out of hand? Yes. When you have the Capitol Police, under the instructions of the Speaker of the House, open up doors, the Capitol doors, removing barriers and waving people in to the U.S. Capitol. And in doing so, the people that came in, the majority were orderly. The majority walked along the velvet ropes. There's video footage of that. As a matter of fact, those that were deemed to be the radicals, including the guy with the horns, was escorted by the Capitol Police inside the House of Representatives. Was escorted. Oh, this door is locked. Let's try another door, says the police officer, the House police officer. And then on tape, on video, we hear how the horns calls for peace inside the House floor. Thank police officers. Not one individual was armed except for, we know, the House law enforcement, who ended up shooting Ashley Babbitt. Was that a plan of action in order to shoot and kill one of the protesters so that you could label it an insurrection? You can listen to President Trump's speech. You can read the transcript of his January 6th speech. Nowhere did it call for rising up against the government. Nowhere. Peaceably walk to the Capitol. Peaceably. And then you find out that there's law enforcement embedded around the Capitol, and they're the ones that threw the smoke bombs and threw the loud firecrackers in order to incite the individuals who were protesting. And there was Antifa and Black Lives Matters dressed in Trump garb who led the way in some of the violence that occurred. Imagine Black Lives Matter and Antifa engaged in violence. You know, what did we see in the summer of 2019 and 2020? Antifa and Black Lives Matter destroying property, maiming and killing police officers around the United States. That's more plausible, which is the strong arm, the violent arm of the Democrat Party. Because the mission has been to get President Trump since he came down the escalator in 2016. But finally, the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution upheld, you know, and thanks to the judicial branch of government, as the executive branch of government under the Biden-Obama alumni regime abuse their power and act in an anti-constitutional manner in weaponizing the Department of Justice and seeking ways to tamper with the U.S. elections, the Supreme Court, in a 9-0 unanimous decision, ruled that President Trump cannot be held off of state ballots, including Colorado and Maine and other states who are wanting to keep Trump off the ballot. This is a method by the U.S. Democrat Party, who gives us lip service, pretending to care about election integrity, to pretending to care about the rule of law. They have tampered with America's election. They want to deny you and I the right to vote. They use the rule of law as a meaningless cliche. They use the term election integrity as a meaningless cliche. That is the left wing. That is the Uniparty. And they're trying to find ways to deny Americans the right to vote, especially if Americans are going to vote for the GOP frontrunner, Donald Trump. It's the Democrats going after their political opponents. And you've got Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime weaponizing the Department of Justice to go after President Trump. You have Joe Biden and the Obama alumni regime seeking to bankrupt Donald Trump. And we saw it in New York. You know, where did Letitia Soros James, okay, get this $375 million settlement figure? Where? Where did this number come from? You know where it came from? It came from Letitia Soros James, George Soros, and the Democrat Party and the Uniparty trying to bankrupt Donald Trump. What did Letitia Soros James say when it came time for President Trump to have to pay the fine and put up the money while he would contest this? If he doesn't pay it, we'll confiscate his real estate. That was the end game. That is the end game of the left wing. Confiscate his real estate. Can you imagine a government body in the United States of America confiscate? They're unabashed about it. How did you come up with $375 million? She wants to take Trump Tower. I mean, these people are sick. That has been their motive since President Trump came down the escalator, is to demoralize the guy. It's to demean him, and it's to dissuade the American people, we the people, from voting for a man who has placed America first, who believes in we the people, who believes in the U.S. Constitution. Don't give me this noise about Joe Biden and the Constitution. You know, the one thing under Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution that President Trump did was prevent America from being invaded. The one thing that Joe Biden has done, protect America from being invaded. There are cities and states around the country who now are overstated with people, with illegal aliens, with crime out of control. Sanctuary cities like New York City. Sanctuary states like New York State. Sanctuary cities like Chicago. Inundated with people who are here illegally. And all Joe Biden had to do with a stroke of a pen is to continue the policies that were in place when President Trump was in office. But you see, the reason why Joe Biden was installed, he was installed to undo everything Trump did and then ignore it, as he's done with the border. Joe Biden has ignored the border. And then when it's politically expedient for him, then kind of talk about it. Oh, he went down to Brownsville, Texas. Big deal. Even the Border Patrol Union called his trip to Brownsville nothing more than a campaign stop, than a marketing tool. If he really wanted to understand what was happening at the border, he would have went to Eagle Pass, Texas. But no, you see, Joe Biden, first of all, doesn't have the mental acuity to do so. He's mentally incapable of that type of stress. But first and foremost, the reason he was installed is because he could ignore the reality of the decisions made by Biden and the Obama alumni regime to open up America's borders. That's basically, that's what Joe Biden was installed to do. Open up America's borders and then ignore it. And now that it's an election year, he lays the blame on the U.S. Congress. Well, excuse me, but hold on a second. Okay, let's use Dopey Joe's own rationale when you think about it. Okay, so So the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional for the executive branch of government to cancel student loan debt, college student loan debt. But Dopey Joe said, I have a pen, and I could just wipe out the debt because I have a pen. Doesn't matter what the U.S. Supreme Court stated. But once again, the unconstitutional acts by Dopey Joe, okay? So if Dopey Joe can use his pen to unilaterally decide to forgive college student loan debt, then why doesn't he use his pen to close the southern border? And I really think that I have to give props to bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Because on, I want to say it was last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, the 28th, Bigfoot in his blog has an article, a link to The Federalist, how illegal aliens entering the United States skew our elections for Democrats without ever casting a vote. It's an excellent article. And by the way, I'd recommend www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's something that I read every day. It's got great stories. Big puts a lot of work into this. You can check out in the United States, but around the world. This particular article by The Federalist is very, very telling. It really does clear up why the Democrat Party, why the Marxists, why the anti-American Biden-Obama alumni regime have opened up America's borders. And it's about representation. And again, it's the anti-constitutional acts by the Biden and Obama alumni regime. We know that Obama's mission was to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. That was interrupted with the election of Donald Trump by we the people. And so now it's imperative that Donald Trump does not return to the White House and in power. So they got Dopey Joe, who's got absolutely zero heart, soul. He's an empty, hollow man, and he's perfect for the job to put forth this agenda of dismantling our constitutional republic. The state of New York in the 2020 election lost, I believe it was two House seats because of the population reduction. And what the left wing in America, the anti-constitutional left, is engaged in is counting illegal aliens as a means to fulfill the representation of a House of Representatives. And with the state of New York and the state of California losing House seats to southern states, how do these liberal states, these left-wing states, get those seats back? Now, illegal aliens aren't supposed to be counted for redistricting purposes, but that means nothing to the anti-constitutional left. And that is one reason why, in the dead of night, the Biden-Obama alumni regime were taking illegal aliens who entered the United States illegally, can't work enough, and to New York City, to cities and states around the country, especially those states that have lost congressional House seats. So I urge you to go to The Federalist if you've not read it. The article is titled, How Illegal Aliens Flooding Our Border Skew Elections for Democrats Without Ever Casting a Vote. And there's one comment from a congresswoman from New York who stated that she welcomes all – oh, here it is. Democrat New York Rep. Yvette Clark said during a 2021 hearing that her district can absorb a significant number of these migrants because I need more people in my district for redistricting purposes. Now, illegal aliens can't vote in the United States. Well, of course, Democrats are change that. Want everything, anybody, because the base has, you know, dwindled such. So New York Representative Yvette Clark stated, "I need more people in my district for redistricting purposes." And when you read this article, suddenly it starts, the dots start connecting. You know, why did Biden and the Obama alumni remove all of what was working concerning border security in January of 2021? Opening up the floodgates to illegal aliens pouring through our borders. Illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens. Why did the Biden-Obama alumni regime then transport by bus and by plane many of these illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to cities and states all around the country? And it starts coming together. And it's really sad what we're seeing, and it's troubling that our own government, run by anti-constitutionalists, by anti-Americans, are undermining our constitutional republic. It's one thing we have to sit here, we have to listen to, under the legacy media, the misrepresentation of America, with the members of the Uniparty in Congress constantly referring to America as a democracy. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Why is this important? Because each and every member of Congress, the president and vice president, all take an oath of office to protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. Article 4, Section 4 states, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion." And this government has intentionally violated Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. There is no democracy. It doesn't say shall guarantee. I understand it's not the Republican Party, okay, but a Republican form of government. A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And it's exactly what Washington, D.C. wants. They want a dictatorship. They want to be able to remove our liberties and our rights as they have done so in the dead of night. You have the Biden-Obama alumni regime setting up a Ministry of Truth inside the Department of Homeland Security to regulate and monitor our speech in America. Excuse me. The Bill of Rights is pretty clear. The First Amendment is absolute. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. That means that the executive branch of government cannot unilaterally decide what speech is acceptable and what they deem to be disinformation and misinformation. Regime, the Biden-Obama alumni regime, have abridged America's freedom of speech. And they're doing so without any reprisals. It's not like the U.S. media, especially the DNC legacy media, is going to hold them accountable. I mean, where's the outrage for the Biden-Obama alumni regime going after Catherine Heritage, a seasoned journalist? What about the gentleman who was arrested by the U.S. government, by the Department of Justice, a journalist who was covering those protesters on January the 6th, and he voluntarily gave them the footage of video that he took while at the U.S. Capitol, while the journalist was filming what was going on inside the Capitol, and they arrested him for trespassing. He didn't partake in any events that occurred. This shows you the lawlessness of the Biden-Obama alumni regime. They have zero regard for the U.S. Constitution. Go ahead, Al.
Well, it's the weaponization. You know, when you look at the delays in these three other cases that you mentioned, Trump's first criminal trial, likely be the New York hush money case, which is set to begin with jury selection on March 25th. Now, a conviction in any of the cases would not prevent Trump from returning to the job. Through the polls, however, have indicated more than half of the battleground state voters, including nearly a quarter of Republicans, would not vote for Trump if he was convicted. Trump replied, "Historically, a thing like what I've been going through would have hurt a political party or a political candidate terrifically," Trump said Monday. He went on to add, quote, "You wouldn't even run. You wouldn't be able to run. You'd get out. This has happened over many years, many times. In this case, the polls show that I'm much more popular than I was before weaponization." Now, as those cases are kicked down the road in the 2024 election barrels closer, it grows likelier that the voters will decide on their own whether Trump should be president again, not the court. So from the very beginning, Trump was not waiting on the Supreme Court to save the American Republic. That's up to the voters, said Griswold. And this is weaponization of the FBI, weaponization of the Treasury Department, weaponization of the courts and of state and local in these battleground states. We're seeing weaponization against JBS, the meatpacking plant, because they didn't pay their climate shakedown money. So we're seeing this, and Trump, what is happening to President Trump could be happening to any of us. So when you look at what Trump is going through, they did there was a study about presidents and their net wealth before and after their terms ended. President Trump is the only president on record whose net worth has decreased. He was richer before he ran for president and became president, and he's poorer after he became president. Close to half his net worth has been lost. Now, who in their right mind, and I say their right mind, but how many people would go through what President Trump is going through for public service? He built an empire. That empire has been eroded in legal fees. We don't even know the half of what he's been paying in legal fees, time wasted, and carrying on a national election campaign that he's winning. He's won every primary that he's been in except for one, and that was in Washington, D.C., and D.C. was a closed primary, and Nikki Haley won in D.C.,
Surprise,
but that's
surprise.
It. This guy is Trump is a winner, and America gravitates towards a winner. The Marxist Democrats know this, so they're beating him the only way that they can, because they can't beat him in the polls. They can't beat him in public opinion. They can't beat him in popularity. So they have to attack him in the courts and through avenues to try and destroy, demoralize, and bankrupt him. So he can't run because they don't trust the American people to make the decision that they want. And this is tyranny. Plain and simple, this is tyranny. So this utopian Marxist world that they're trying to divide us, conquer us, and bring in some utopian Marxist unicorn utopia that's never going to happen, has never happened, will never happen in the American experience. And as Trump said, they're trying to weaponize the government against him, and they're not successful. So this is what's really happening behind the headlines, and this is a personal attack, and this is what a third world dictatorship looks like. And President Biden, he's got help with the Republican Party, too, the Republican establishment. President Biden should have been impeached time over and time again. Hunter Biden should be in jail right now, just on the laptop, the information that was in the laptop alone. Hillary Clinton should be in jail for the Russia collusion. lies that have come out, the whitewashing of her emails, national security classified document breaches on her servers in her bathroom, she should be in jail. Biden should be in jail for having all of those classified files that he, one, never should have had as a senator, never should have had as a vice president, in unsecured locations. This is the world we live in.
Yeah, that the classified documents, this is where I think what motivates President Trump when he sees a two-tiered justice system. One, the weaponization of the Justice Department to go after him and to silence him. And as he said, this is an attack on we the people. And we the people understand we want to see America great. We want to see America great. We want to see America be a leader. And somehow making America great is a bad thing under the Marxist movement, under the anti-constitutional movement. Since when is making America great considered a terroristic act or an act of terrorism? It's because the left wing is in control. And they want to silence we the people. I mean, you know, in one avenue, you've got President Trump, who's protected by the Presidential Records Act, has classified documents that are in a secured location, a safe, complies with the request of the White House to add extra locks and measures, not to mention, President Trump has Secret Service protection. But you converse that with Joe Biden, a U.S. senator possessing classified documents, a vice president possessing classified documents. And just last week, Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, state, you know, don't compare the classified documents with President Trump to Joe Biden. Well, of course you can't compare that, because Joe Biden stole those documents. Pelosi, who tried to make a case against President Trump, and she failed miserably because she ended up indicting Joe Biden. She stated that a member of Congress cannot remove classified documents. We have to go into this room and we have to leave the documents. We have to leave the documents there. Hiccup. And nothing else there, Nasty, because now you've absolutely verified to we the people that Joe Biden, as a U.S. senator, was not allowed to remove, and he then illegally removed classified documents and took them back to his house, took them back to the – and stored them in the Penn Biden Center, and stored them in an office in the Washington, D.C. Chinatown office. Joe Biden stole those documents. So, yes, Jack Smith, you can't compare the document issue with Biden – versus President Trump, because President Trump is covered like five other presidents under the Presidential Records Act, as is Obama, as was George W. Bush, as was Reagan, as was G.H.W. Bush, as was Clinton. And so you suddenly, the corrupt DOJ, okay, you have determined that President Trump is not protected under the act that five previous presidents are protected under. Not to mention having classified documents stored in one location in Mar-a-Lago, unlike Joe Biden, who had it in no less than five different locations, including the Penn Biden Center, which was financed by Communist China to the tune of $70 million. So, yeah, you can compare the two, because Joe Biden should be in jail for that. That could be construed as treason. It takes one classified document to expose any covert operation that the United States is engaged in, to expose our operatives in some covert situation. It's bad enough that dopey Joe Biden exposed SEAL Team 6 and got SEAL Team 6 members killed in Extortion 17. because he opened his mouth and once again exposed the SEAL team that acted in a covert manner in taking out, supposedly taking out, Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. And there's been no pushback. There's been no accountability held for that walking imbecile, that malleable moron, Joe Biden. Got 27 American Extortion 17 because he exposed SEAL Team 6 as being the SEAL team that took out Osama bin Laden. You know, what did Barack Hussein Sator Obama say? You don't put it beyond Joe to fuck up a situation. And once again, he did. And it cost America's lives. I see a comment by Boy about Benghazi. Yeah, Hillary Rodham Clinton should be in jail for Benghazi. And she's allowed to get away with, what difference does it make if it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk? You know, that alone should have outraged each and every member of the House committee that was interrogating her at that hearing. Each and every, irrespective of their party affiliation. Terrorist, Islamic terrorist, and they weren't out for an evening walk, Hillary, unless you're going out for an evening walk with rocket launchers and AK-47s. And then we find out from the men on the ground in Benghazi, they were told to stand down like Chris Tanto Paranto. He'll tell you, he'll tell you to this day that when a U.S. ambassador was in trouble, they were told to stand down. And God bless those guys for hearing the small arms fire that was going on. They disregarded that stand down after an hour and made their way to Benghazi compound for a 13-hour standoff. But by that time, U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens was dead. CIA agent Sean Smith was dead. And it's unconscionable that Hillary Rodham Clinton, Barack Hussein Sator Obama, Susan Rice all lied. They lied to the American people and they lied to the world that it was some obscure movie trailer that caused this. It was not. And there's no accountability. Democrat, if you're a member of the Democrat Party in America, there is no accountability for your actions. Hillary Clinton can say anything she wants to say. What difference does it make? She could have 30,000 emails, not only on her private server, but then it turns out it's on a convict's personal laptop, Anthony Weiner. I mean, how much more egregious can these crimes become before they're considered a crime? Defraud Haitians, but that's all right. It's the Clintons. It's okay. It's expected. And suddenly, Donald Trump's the bad guy in all this. Those that are truly corrupt, like Hillary Rodham Clinton, like Barack Hussein Sator Obama, and certainly like Joe Biden, they're given a free pass. And I'll tell you, Al, one quick thing. You know, now the anti-constitutionalist member of Congress there, Jamie Raskin, is outraged by the decision that was made by the Supreme Court. A 9-0 decision. A unanimous decision by the liberals, by the conservatives in the Supreme Court that Donald Trump should not be kept off the ballots, whether it's Colorado or Maine or any other of the 14 states. So now, Jamie Raskins, the representative from Maryland, the anti-constitutionalist, is and some of his compadres in the House of Representatives, and I'm sure you all can imagine it's not going to be Republicans because Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are gone, and Romney's in the Senate. But Davey Raskin, along with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, are going to revive legislation that they had to set up a process by which they could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Okay, so President Trump was never tried for, and he was not found guilty of insurrection. Now, of course, again, the subversion of language, which Jamie Raskin is good at, will try to tell you that President Trump was impeached for it, but the Senate found him not guilty. Okay. All right. But what I really find comical, what I really find interesting, and what really inflames it just gets my blood boiling, is the other two House members that are going to be involved with the anti-constitutional Jamie Raskins, one of them is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Now, here's a little woman, little Debbie, from Florida, South Florida, who served as the DNC chair while holding a seat, her House seat in Florida in 2016. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was caught rigging the Democrat presidential primary, which was pitting Hillary Rodham Clinton against Bernie Sanders. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz helped the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign rig the Democrat primary. She was caught with her hand in the cookie jar. She had to be standing on a stool because she's so short. And she abruptly resigns as DNC chair on the opening of the DNC convention. She was caught. Her and Hillary were caught having rigged the Democrat presidential primary election in 2016. Did she lose her House seat? No. Did the Speaker of the House, did Nancy Pelosi admonish her? No. Did she resign from her House seat in shame? No. And if that wasn't enough, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in bed with some Iranian nationals who she hires as IT guys, the Awan brothers, A-W-A-N. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. A-W-A-N, Awan brothers. Two of them fled back to Iran. One is no one knows. And the one that no one knows where he's at was the one that had a close relationship with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And what sensitive information did the Awan brothers, as IT people for Debbie Wasserman Schultz's House seat and for the DNC, were they privy to? Iranian nationals. This is like hiring a communist Chinese woman like Fang Fang to be to head your House congressional campaign that you're running for after being mayor of a city in California. Oh, wait a minute. That's Eric Swalwell. So you've got the anti-constitutional Jamie Raskin has now tapped two sordid individuals, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Fang Fang Swalwell, to try and stop President Trump and do an end around. Two individuals that should be out of the United States House of Representatives, should have resigned in disgrace. But when you're a member of the Democrat Party in America, there's nothing to be disgraced about. You can go as low as you want. You could be bought by the communist Chinese. You could be bought by the Iranians. You could defraud the Democrat Party voters and still maintain your House seat and still be some sort of chair of some House committee because the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, simply looks the other way. This is reprehensible, Al. Little Debbie Wasserman Schultz should have been expelled from the United States House for one, cheating, okay? But cheating, I guess, is expected by Democrats. And two, the Awan brothers, you know more about this story than I. But the Awan brothers are not legitimate individuals. And, oh, by the way, they fled the United States. What does that tell you about? Huh? What else does that tell you?
Yeah, she got away with it, but the Colorado Secretary of State, she had a meltdown on live TV after the unanimous Supreme Court decision today, which in itself, she said something that's very telling, because earlier today it was announced with the unanimous decision, but one meltdown stood out among the crowd. That would be the meltdown of Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold on MSNBC. Now, the Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold looked like she was about to cry on the MSNBC newscast, but she ended her cry fest and her that she had lost so badly, 9-0, against her decision earlier about getting Trump off the ballot. This is what she said, and it's so very telling. You know, she said, quote, "It will be up to the American voters to save our democracy." Well, one, we're not a democracy, but I'll change that to saving our constitutional republic. And it is up to the American voters. The problem with Jenna Griswold, the Colorado Secretary of State, is she hates the American voters and thinks that she is better than the American voters and used the power of her office to keep the American voters out of the electoral process by destroying or trying to destroy her fellow Democrat contender, Joe Biden, trying to destroy his political rival and President Trump. So, yes, it is up to the American voters, but it took a Supreme Court decision for this Colorado Secretary of State to finally admit that it's up to the American people. She needs to be drummed out of office. How that's done, I don't know. That'd be up to the governor, but I think he's as bad as she is. But this also shows the importance of local elections in your state. Local elections are more important in a lot of respects to the federal and national elections, because that's what's going to impact your life more than anything else. Now, how you beat a Democrat majority state, well, that's just people coming out to the polls. Will it change anything? I don't know. But thank God, if there's not a President Trump, I don't know of any other politician who would be able to fight all these battles on so many fronts and still come out winning. It's amazing. And as he said, this weaponization is making him more popular than others and than ever. And he told President Biden, he said, "You don't need extra powers. You can. My policies on the wall will help you. If you institute and shut down this illegal immigration, it'll help you. And it'll help America, but it'll also help you in the polls against me." He said, do it. Because this weaponization that he's doing is making him more popular than ever. It's so amazing. This is unheard of. We're watching history being made.
You ain't kidding. And you know what? This is a win for the American people, not just Trump, because you have a unilateral decision by a radical left winger to infringe upon voting, to sway an election. The establishment is concerned that we the people have had enough, and they are going to lose their ability to be a dictatorship. So, hey, we got Hank on the line. You want to bring Hank on? Bring him on right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Hank, how you doing? Welcome. Thank you for letting me sit in for you last Wednesday.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, thank you.
What's up?
I've seen some of the stuff, and I've been talking on, you know, via text with Hawkeye Mike and our Hawkeye crew about some of this. And Mike is going to be on the show Wednesday because he's got some other insights that are really really impressive and spot on about some of it. But anyway, I'm seeing all the responses. I'm seeing, you know, these people crying. But I just cannot believe Keith Olbermann. I mean, have you read his tweet?
Oh, yeah. Let me read it. Hold on a second. So Keith Olbermann sends out this tweet, and he says, this is what the unstable Keith Olbermann says. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Its members, including Jackson Kagan and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. And collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved. If that's not an idiotic statement, I don't know what is.
I mean, it's a 9-0 decision. This is not even – now, you know, if you saw my tweet, I said, you know, the only thing that was really surprising was the 9-0. But as Mike had said to me, you know, if there's any of them, like even, you know, Jackson or, you know, if they're really thinking – that this is legit, if they're going to affirm Colorado, because I really hope that their fellow justices are telling them how stupid and inept they will look if they do that, because this is not a difficult, it's literally not difficult that they will overturn this. Now, there's some other stuff he's going to talk about, some interesting things on what they could do on immunity and a couple other cases so that are interesting. It's not a matter, you know, you might say, oh, they just not to grant him immunity. What they might do might be even better than that. It could be more far-reaching. So anyway, we'll be talking about that. But I just seeing Keith Olbermann tweet is just like, my God. I mean, I'm not sure whether to laugh or cry. And I mean, I say that in all sincerity. I really am not sure whether to cry about this. Just in pitiful, pathetic, you know, the nature of his tweet, or if this is really just a comedy show. It's just that simple.
Well, Hank, really, seriously, this to me, this goes down to former FBI agent Dan Smoot's description of a constitutional republic versus a democracy and a subversion of language. So the subversion of language is to constantly refer to America as a democracy so that its minions can then mimic that. And in this case, the less than intelligent Keith Olbermann has utilized that language. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Wait a minute. The Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. Well, America is not a democracy. It's a constitutional republic. So you've got these
adults
like Olbermann.
That's the beauty of what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, it confirms exactly what Dan Smoots had stated in 1966. He's spot on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It makes it so beautiful because when he says betray democracy, well, absolutely. It's not just a matter of betray. They slapped some democracy. I mean, that's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to, but there was nothing to uphold there in terms of democracy. This had nothing to do with democracy. What was democratic about what Colorado did? What was democratic about that? Let's start with that premise. What in the hell was democratic about that maneuver? And here he's saying they betrayed democracy. Well, what was democratic about that in the first place? Let's forget the whole we are not a democracy. But what was – I mean, if you're going to really hang your hat on that, what was democratic about what Colorado did? And, there's nothing he can say that would say, well, that was very democratic because – I mean, he – we got to remember, it's Keith Olbermann. Stab at it. That's the good part. That's what keeps us entertained. That stupid son of a bitch would take a stab at it.
So, yes, he would.
I don't know. Has Dopey Joe crapped his pants today or no? Is he still,
he's on vacation.
Well, of course, he's always on vacation. So.
Yep. Sending out
and Mike's
his wife.
Gonna have something. Mike's gonna have something interesting to say on that. On that whole, you know, the feeble-minded stuff and all that. He's got some interesting stuff that he made a point. They made a really good point.
What time's your show? Wednesday.
6 p.m. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Right here on Global Patriot Radio.
Great.
So how do you So, Hank, how do you think this is going to change the political landscape in the days leading up to your show on Wednesday?
Oh, I mean, I got some of this set, you know, what Mike's going to talk about that's kind of set, you know, set this up anyway. So this doesn't really change it. What it does do is it affirms some of what Mike and I and others have talked about. But there's, like I said, there's beyond that, there's some other interesting stuff about it. It's not simply a matter of, okay, you know, Colorado got slapped down, because there's more that they're going after Trump. And some of that could very well not just crumble, but, I mean, just, you know, like literally fall off the continent the way we want California to do. So, I mean, it doesn't change, but it does. It makes it more interesting in the sense that there's more to it. It's not just about the Colorado decision.
Good.
Yeah.
So look forward to hearing Mike. He's great, man. He breaks it down really nice, and he's got a good voice for radio. I'm not sure it's for TV, but he's got a good voice for radio.
Yeah, he does have a good voice. He does have, he knows his sports. He was a political science major in college, and he really does know case law. He clerked for federal judges, so he's nobody's fool. You know, if he doesn't have a direct answer to something, he won't bullshit. You know, he'll tell you he doesn't. You know, and he'll say that's something that would require a little more research. So.
Great. All right. So Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Yep. Great show, guys, as always. And I enjoyed it. I'm driving back from paddling this evening. And it was like, hey, I got the time. I'm calling in. I'm going to listen. And if I decide, I wasn't even planning to actually hit the one. But, you know, I just thought, you know, this is so good. And I just had to pipe in because, like, when you were talking about some of it, the Keith Olbermann tweet is just, I mean, it's comedy gold. Except that I don't think he meant it as comedy, you know. Yeah. That's what makes it so sad. I mean, it's just...
Well, no, he spoke the emotions of the Democrat Marxists in plain, easy English. And it should be embarrassing. It should be shameful. They should be hanging their heads in shame. But I don't think these Democrat Marxists are capable of such introspection.
Yeah, I think you're correct on that, Al, no doubt. So, anyway, I'll let you guys get back to it.
All right.
I've got to unload a trailer, and so we will talk after you guys later, and hopefully you guys are listening in Wednesday.
You got it, man. You have a nice day, and congratulations once again. Ciao.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Talk to you later.
See you on Wednesday.
Bye. And I think we got Boyd. He's got his hand up really quick. Here we got about 15 minutes, well, actually 10 minutes left. Hey, Boyd, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, you little white ball chaser. How are you doing now?
Oh, great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. It wasn't a good day in the links today, but go ahead. Good to see you. How you been?
I've been good. I got two things I wanted to say.
All right.
Obviously, I don't know if you guys read the full 14th Amendment, but it's obvious that the Democrats didn't, because had they have read the full 14th Amendment, they would have seen at the very bottom, I think it's section
five,
C or something like that, at the bottom of the 14th Amendment. On the insurrection, and it specifically states only Congress has the power to do that.
Correct.
And it ends right there. Nobody else has the power, only Congress. And now these idiots in Congress have finally read it. I mean, it took the Supreme Court to tell them that only Congress can do it. Now they're going to try and do it through Congress, which is bullshit. It ain't going to go nowhere, because I believe that it would have to go through both the House and the Senate, you know.
Right.
So,
correct.
I mean, they're kind of sucking hind tit on that. And the other thing that I wanted to say was earlier with Letitia James in New York and this meat company, you know. I would really love to see the meat company have some balls, and I mean some big old Brahma bull balls, and say, okay, Letitia, this is what we're going to do. we're pulling back all of our product out of the state of New York.
Ooh.
Just clean the shelves of all the meat products that they sold in New York and stuff like that. And then just let the citizens of New York take care of the problem.
Oh. Oh.
Could you
so
imagine,
first...
can you imagine that?
Oh.
Just stop selling meat in the state of New York.
There you go. And I guess they'll have to go to New Jersey or Connecticut in order to get their meat. Or Canada, right?
Well,
make them eat
they're
tofu.
They'll have to try and do, the people in New York are going to have to try and do something. Easiest thing would be to eliminate Letitia James and the governor.
Yeah, this whole leftism, this George Soros is a cancer, and the individuals that he has financially supported are just an they add to this cancer. They metastasize the cancer that has infected the state of New York, that has infected the state of Georgia, that has infected in Orlando, Florida. It's infected San Francisco. It's infected Los Angeles. This guy is a cancer.
Well, George Soros exposed the weak underbelly of the rule of law in the United States of America. And once you take that one leg of the stool, the rule of law and the prosecution of criminals, you take that away, and then you have lawlessness on the streets, and that is not a unifying factor. In fact, it divides us more than it unites us. And it's very dangerous. If it continues, it could have a very negative impact on our society and culture.
Well, we all knew Letitia James was going to go after another big corporation or something of that effect after what she did with Donald Trump. Everybody knew it. It was just a matter of who and when, you know.
Right.
And you know, as far as I know, she's probably going to have the trial in front of the same judge, Erdogan, you know, who will announce publicly before trials and hearing begins that the corporation is guilty. And, then all it is you're in there, you know, fighting to try and keep the fines or whatever down low. But, you know, if Trump would have pulled out of New York complete and total, 100%, he wouldn't have had no effect on the population really in New York, except for maybe 10 or 15,000 people who would lose their jobs. But if this corporation pulls their product out of the state of New York, it's going to affect everyone in the state of New York.
Yeah, and you know something, boy.
You know, what do you think the Italian mob's going to do when they can't get their pepperoni for their goddamn pizzas or their sausage?
Fictitious, but now you're talking about you're messing totally with the tax base in New York. So one, you've lost population, which means that you've lost the tax base. You're losing corporations who are pulling out of the city of New York and the state of New York, so you've lost the tax base. And now you have a sales tax issue with the beef company, one of the largest in the United States, totally pulling out of New York. You know, how are you going to afford housing illegal unvetted aliens who have been sent to your state or have migrated up there from the southern border that they have invaded? And, you know, at what point in time does the state and do the residents then proclaim that the governor is unfit, the attorney general is unfit, and, you know, it's time for financial constraints to come into play? And they have absolutely decimated their tax base.
Yeah, but the bigger thing about it is, you know, if the company does what I suggest, how are they going to control the population that wants their hamburgers, hot dogs, pork chops, and steaks? You know, how are they going to control the people? when the people can't get what they want.
Great point. Great point. And it's not going to happen in Alaska, so don't worry. No worries.
No, we got our own meat on the hoof out here.
Well, but you do bring up an interesting point is that if you want to destabilize our country, the first thing to attack is our food sources, because once the grocery stores are empty of food or they become low, then you're going to see chaos happen quicker than you can shake a stick at. So,
yeah, but
these are
this
could happen.
And if this is the world's second largest meat producer in the world, you know, what money they would lose just out of the state of New York, you know, not selling there or anything, would be insubmissible to their bottom line.
Well,
but
yeah, it's all
would
because
would impact the state of New York.
Right. Well, and the only thing that this company did is they wanted their stock. They've grown so much, they've become so good at what they do, that they were going to have a listing of their stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Letitia James wanted a piece of that, I suspect. She wanted to shake them down, and the only way she could do that was like this, and then taking away, because it's going to delay. I suspect this may delay their public offering and having their stock listed on the stock exchange, which is going to impact the company in a very, very negative way. But this is how Marxists work. They hate the free enterprise system.
They, you know, the company can take their shares of stock and go over to the Chicago Stock Exchange.
Yeah,
and sell there.
I don't know about that. That's a smaller exchange. I don't know.
Just completely vacate New York.
Yeah.
But that's
like,
Chicago Board of Trade. That's a different entity. But Boyd, I gotta go.
Oh, no, they do have a stock exchange there. Secondary market, but they do have an exchange. So yeah.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Listen, guys. I just wanted to let you know that my idea is to starve New York. Well, you wouldn't have to. You wouldn't starve them. You just take all their protein away from them.
They'd go green.
Hey, it'll take some time, but and people are leaving in droves. They're coming to Florida and Texas, and they're leaving New York.
Yeah, Tennessee,
yeah.
North Carolina, South Carolina as well. Hey, Boyd, have a nice evening.
Yep.
Thank you for the call. We're going to wrap things
you
up
too.
Here. All righty. Take it easy, man.
Yep.
All right. Have a great week. Thanks for calling.
That was Boyd. Tomorrow's Super Tuesday, and you've got several states that are conducting their – I have it written down. Maine, who was just slapped in the face. You've got Alabama. You've got I wrote them all down. Oh, well, anyways. Oh, here we go. I got them right here. So we got Alabama, Massachusetts, Maine, and Oklahoma all have their Super Tuesday tomorrow. So get out there, vote for Trump in the primary. Send a message to the establishment that, Nikki Haley's Hindenburg Haley campaign is on is out of air, and that we the people intend on supporting and restoring America and making America great. Making America great is not a bad thing. Matter of fact, it's great. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Big's got a great blog spot 7 days a week. Check it out. Great stories in the United States and around the world. So thank you, Big, for all you do. Bring it on, boy. Nice to see you. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio. Nice to see you, dogs. Let's see. Hank Jones is in the house. Guy, nice to see you, Guy. James, Snowman James. great to see you. Bring it on, boy. Good to see you, boy. Sue from New Mexico, always a pleasure. And all you out there in podcast land, thank you for joining us today. Wednesday, we got Hank Jones of Poly Sports. You heard Hank a little while ago at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Check it out, Poly Sports. And Saturday, you got a Simon Dakdak and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Great show, 10 p.m. Eastern time. On Blog Talk Radio, check out Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and a great sidekick, Arthur Curtis Bennett, at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Friday afternoons on Blog Talk Radio. Another great show. If you want an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com. Another great American is Audrey Russo. Check out Audrey Russo's Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to AudreyRusso.com. Audrey's sidekick, her co-host, is Mr. P. What a great rant he has. Oh, my God. Check out Mr. P. She usually has three great guests on, so check out AudreyRusso.com. And Restoring Our Republic, Joe Gibson, Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Joe Gibson. Great show for Joe. Another great patriot. So, Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yeah, congratulations to the United States of America, especially our Constitutional Republic. The United States Supreme Court ruled 9-0 that President Trump cannot be kept off the ballots. The Marxists, of course, will try everything under the sun, including to discredit and bankrupt President Trump. But we, the people, have had enough. And it's time to fight back. So thank you all for joining us. Frank is going to take us out. You all be safe out there. Thank you for the call, boy, and Hank. And you all be safe out there. Ciao for now.
I took the blow.
Bang. Right on time. Tell you.
You are a professional.
Oh, man. I got it. Well, it was hard to believe. It was a quick 2 hours.
I tell you, it's a lot going on. And, I mean, Trump winning this this case with the Supreme Court is huge. It should shut everything down, but... I don't know. These assholes are not going to stop.
No. And you know what? What's really troubling, Al, is when you read, you know, that now Jamie Raskin, who I believe is an anti-constitutionalist, has now enlisted the help of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell to proceed in another fashion in Congress. While it's not going to go anywhere, you know, with Speaker Johnson and the Republican-controlled House, the issue is you bring it up so that if the Democrats do take back the House, that this legislation is already in place. And it's two irreputable individuals. I mean, the disgraced Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I cannot believe that this little woman is not held accountable for her actions. And she cheated. She engaged in a cheating scandal in a presidential primary for a major political party as the DNC chair. And yet there's no accountability for this woman's actions. And then there's Eric Swalwell at ad nauseum. We have discussed about this guy and and his association with Fang Fang. Oh, my goodness gracious, a Chinese spy who helped launch his congressional career, and there's no shame and no accountability. And I see Sue's got her hand up. I'll bring her on. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
Hey, Sue.
Hey, hi. You know, the reason I wanted to come on real quick, look in your, I DM'd you and then I tweeted it to you, Al. It just broke today. He's in Florida. There's a massive manhunt for a 42-year-old Iranian who is out there. And I guess he's going after Pompeo, possibly Trump. Anyway, he's organizing right now for attacks on a lot of them. And he is in Florida, and the manhunt is occurring in Florida. So I wanted you to be aware of that, really take a look at that tweet. I did message you, Vito, about this guy.
Okay, but thank you.
Things are going to get real bad. It was a great show today. Also, you know what I told you about X and these bots following you and stuff? Mm-hmm. They can hack your account. I just, not long after you told me he wasn't on your site following you, I found out another bot had me following them, but it was showing up in their timeline, but it's not showing up in mine. So these people are really, really bad, and we've just got to get together, and we have to be very, very careful on, you know, who we tweet. One of the things they're doing now is they're liking a tweet. They don't openly follow you. They'll like your tweet. That opens you up to all the other bots. And then, of course, here comes the porn bots, you know, which I really hate. But I spend at least an hour a day, even the days I don't want to get on X, I have to go in there and I have to get rid of them. So anyway, that's all. But it was just a great show, and I'm just loving the meltdown from the Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was predictable, but boys, they are going off the deep end, and they can't say democracy enough. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's been a lot on Twitter. Twitter actually shut me down today. It was so friggin' hard to get back on. But I was really major. There's a lot of tweets, Al. You'll see them, too, coming out of Israel. But I guess the UN today, the women's organization or something, they finally did come out and admit that there were rapes and a lot of really horrible things that happened, you know, on October 7th, but they're also claiming that it's continuing to happen. So we can't let this go the byway either, you know, because, you know, Kamala was out today with her little thing, and they're pushing this ceasefire and, you know, everything. And even with everything going on in the United States, we got to get out there. We got to support Israel. We can't let these lies and everything that they are doing, you know, get by with it. It's got to get out there what's happening. And Joe and Obama, you know, they're just waiting to crucify Netanyahu and for a ceasefire, and then it'll be over for Israel, they hope. You know,
yep.
It's just horrible. But anyway, you know, I hope maybe in the next show or something you guys at least mention a little bit about what's going on in Israel. I know so much
yeah, well,
in the super... Yeah.
Yeah, well, the big thing is they didn't supply the list for the hostages, so luckily Israel has not said no ceasefire. So thank God for that, because
thank God.
If we don't go into Rafah, we're done. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they have to keep going, you know. And now there was some stuff, I think I did post it, to where they're showing where the Palestinians had attacked. One of the reasons they're airdropping supplies in now is because the Hamas attacked one of the trucks, wasn't it, that was bringing in supplies, and they killed a bunch of them. Who was bringing
the driver.
In the
driver.
Yeah, yeah. And
they blamed Israel.
yeah. But there's a video of it. I don't know how they got the video or whatever, but there's video. I don't know if that's what got me locked on X or what, but I did put out a tweet on that too. But right now, I can't quite tell which of my tweets got through. I don't know if it was because of my attacks on Vox or if it was everything I was putting out on Israel. But anyway, I got back in, so that's all that matters.
Good. I did get your Iranian one. The Iranian did come through, so I do have that one.
Yeah, that's oh good. I'm glad that went through. That guy is kind of a weird guy. I follow him, but he's been pretty accurate on everything I've seen him put out.
Really?
I checked him out pretty good before I followed him and I started retweeting him. So I think this is a valid post.
Well, we knew it was coming. You know, that was the goal of Iran,
yeah.
And that was to go after both Mike Pompeo and President Trump, and so they're not, you know, these fatwas never end, as we know with Salman Rushdie, which is what, a 20-year-old fatwa, and you know they want retribution for Soleimani, and it just goes to show that they're nothing but a terrorist state with Iran, that is.
I'm just wondering about Biden. I mean, a lot of them are really pissed off about Biden. Do you think they could possibly try to go after him, too?
No. I think he's a protected species. Unless he's outlived his usefulness. And I mean that in a sense that, you know, everything that's done is done in a calculated fashion with Biden. And I mean, it's not him that's doing it. It's the Obama alumni that are pulling the strings. And so I think, you know, Biden has actually done better than they expected. And I'm sure that he's lived past their expectations. So if they can get through 2024, you know, using this imbecile, it's perfect. They can continue their radical agenda. They continue implementing UN agenda illegally, and they will still continue to go after Trump and try to bankrupt him through the legal system.
Think about this, though. If an Iranian, you know, someone like who I tweeted, you know, or I text messaged you, if an Iranian did happen to be able to take out, say, I don't know how to, you know who I'm talking about,
yes,
the person
correct.
We were just talking about,
yep.
right, who, you know, I do believe they're going to replace him. He would become a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
How would that change the whole demographics for the Democrats? Plus, do what they want to do. And, you know, I thought about it more. We talked about Mikey being the one that they put in. But I'm not too sure about that right now. You know why? Because I don't think Mikey would bow down to Obama. Going to be interesting who they pick to replace.
It will be.
Yeah. Anyway, I think I've got myself in enough trouble.
All right.
You guys.
All right, Sue. You take care of yourself. Okay. Stay well. Be safe out there, will you?
Yeah, I don't ever go out of my little studio apartment, so they have to come up through concrete to get to me.
All right, okay, you take care. Bye, Sue.
All right, great talking to you, Sue. Have a good week.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right, Al. Have a good one. Unfortunately, I got to go.
All right, you too. Have a great week.
I'll talk to you sometime this week.
All right. Be good.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Bye for now.